So, yeah, just a general recap of what's been going on in politics recently. Boris Johnson's proroguing of Parliament was deemed illegal by the Supreme Court as MPs returned to the longest-running parliamentary session in 400 years. The Prime Minister remains strong, however, despite calls for resignation, maintaining an 8-point lead ahead of Labour, according to the latest polling predictions. The Labour Party conference wraps up early this week, as Jeremy Corbyn returns early to Parliament, having gained 3 points in the polls. Notable announcements include giving NHS access and voting rights to residents of the UK instead of just citizens, which we'll be discussing later in the show. Both of the main parties, however, have also made quite large strides in their policy about climate change after it's been pretty big recently. Important topic of talk. I think it's probably been hammered to death everywhere, but, you know, we're going to talk about it again. Both parties have made pretty important strides towards making that part of official policy, which is always good. That's pretty much the main recap of what's gone on so far, in layman's terms, without boring everyone. So
you're talking about this new party policy. Do you want to tell us about what it is that the Conservatives are doing at the moment? They've come up with a new party policy.
Yeah, so the Conservative government has recently announced that they plan to commit the UK to net zero emissions by 2050. They've been speaking to a bunch of climate committees and they've formulated a plan. They've promised that they're going to try and get it all done. We've already made pretty important strides earlier in the year on cutting down on coal power. This year, so far, has been the lowest amount of coal power used in a long time, due to just a myriad of policies supporting alternative fuel producers. One big part they want to do is to end the sale of new conventional petrol and diesel cars and vans by 2040, and roll out charge points across the country to give more people the option of owning an electric vehicle and more. I mean, personally, I find it's a great policy to have. It's just about discussing the viability of what they're trying to do. Obviously, cutting down on cars emissions is a pretty important thing. And globally, we get through about 3 billion metric tons worth of carbon dioxide gas is produced off of burning of petrol alone. So cutting down that is pretty important. But getting that many cars off the road and trying to incentivize so many electric cars to get on the road, by 2050 or 20 even 2040, it seems like too much in too little time. Again, a European survey, in Europe, about 93% of all the cars on the road are powered by petrol or diesel. What are you going to do with the other 7%? That's what's the open for debate at the moment.
It's an interesting policy. I'm glad that there's some kind of year that's been kind of put forth that the UK should aim for. 2050, I mean, the Paris Agreement wanted 2040, so we're only 10 years behind, although Labour has promised 2030, so which is the same as Norway, incidentally, and Finland are 2035. With the cars, however, I think, you know, within the last... Well, I don't think it's particularly unfeasible that people can swap from petrol/diesel to electric. I remember end of the 90s until mid 2010s, it was like a 8-year period where we got rid of leaded petrol. And, you know, it's a transition period. It's managed. We did it in less than 10 years. And I'm sure that, you know, the infrastructure to support petrol and diesel cars, you know, heritage cars, as they may be termed, heritage vehicles, will still be there in 2040, 2050. It's just that, you know, I think it's incredibly important to move people away from high polluting vehicles, and you know, this is a it's an important policy, and I think 2050 or 2040 is still cutting it fine, to be honest, if we're going to meet the targets that we agreed to at the, you know, in the Paris Accords. So I think anything that will encourage people to even just have it in the back of their mind, like the next car, you know, that I'm going to buy or lease is going to, or get on finance, you know, is going to be a hybrid or an electric car. And I think that's what the Conservative government, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing that they've done as little as that.
I'm going to be the voice of doom now, I think. My issue with these targets is that the only reason we're in a position to be carbon, to even try and be carbon neutral by the time we get to 2050 is because we've moved our industry to the third world. We send most of our rubbish to the third world. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a suitable analogy. It feels like we're throwing kind of a really small plug in a really massive hole. You know what I mean? Yes, we can get to that target, but China are going to have no chance of getting to it. India are going to have no chance of getting to it. Do you know what I mean? And then, not only that, we prevent developing countries from developing by saying it's better for the environment, at which point they say, well, you've developed. Why can't we? So the whole environmental issue is a little bit of a quandary. When it comes to electric cars, to go and buy a new Tesla, you're looking at 80 grand. Do you know what I mean? You can buy a rundown Ford Escort for 800 quid. Do you know what I mean? It's until electric cars become more affordable, it's not great. Hybrid, by the time you work out collecting the lithium and stuff and mining the stuff for the batteries, etc., etc., the carbon footprint's bigger than that of a petrol car or a diesel car to produce. I still think we're looking for the perfect solution. I still think the solution's out there, but I don't think it's this.
No, I 100% agree. I think that this is such a difficult way to solve everything. There's so many problems that it brings up about, I mean, cultural problems, financial problems, even again environmental problems to fix the environment. It's like, you know, it's not really helping that much. And it's nice to show that they're having a stance, but I think it's kind of just a placeholder. They're kind of just sat there going, look, we're going to do something, please.
Don't know what to do, it's true. You know, but there is, we desperately want a solution to getting about. We did the airplanes yesterday. We talked about the wanting to tax frequent flyers and bit to reduce. But again, it's just kind of, it's like trumping in a cheese shop. It's not the main problem. Do you know what I mean?
I would say that any attempt at reducing emissions is better than no attempt. I think that there are notable things that have been said over the past 20, 30 years. That we could have been doing, that we can still do, you know, moving away from fossil fuels. For instance, you know, the current plans to reopen fracking, that will mean that our target will be missed. So let's not go there. You know, let's move to. I don't want to make it party political, but like since 2010, there have been a number of big energy infrastructure projects that have been shelved. For instance, the tidal project across the Swansea Bay, that is a completely clean, renewable, innovative source of energy. And you know, Britain is an island. What do we have? Coast. That we have tides, we have wind, you know, we have all of this space where all of these projects, like Morecambe Bay as well, they wanted to put, you know, some tidal power there. It's there, it's done, it's doable, but, you know, people are biting the thumbs or bowing to, you know, or shelving it, saying, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it. You know, the next government can do it. You know, solar energy being missold to consumers, the lack of reforestation, the UK financing fossil fuel projects abroad. All of these things, you know, we can just either stop doing them or start doing them, and it will make an impact. And then if people see that, okay, UK, it's the first G7 country to say, right, we're going to be, you know, climate neutral by 2050, people will take, you know, say, right, the UK can still have an industrial sector, well, you know, whatever, run industry cleanly. And then, you know, the technology, if we invest in it, that we develop, then can be sold to countries around the world. So it's not a case of, you know, I know there's doom and gloom because for the past 50 years, we've been doing nothing but dragging our feet. But, you know, I think this is an opportunity as well.
It is great that in such a, in the UK, where your two main parties, I mean, I know the Lib Dems have had a bit of an uprising recently, thanks to Brexit, but It's nice to see that both Labour and the Conservatives at least are putting these aggressive targets forwards, trying to say, look, yeah, again, we're G7 country, we're going, look, we really want to get this done. And it, again, it does send a message when at least two parties that probably couldn't be further away from each other are saying, at least we agree on this. I think that's pretty good.
It's interesting because that links to what Louis was saying. Just as you were starting to make your point, you said you don't want to turn this into party politics, but I think it's been turned into that. Climate change is a political issue because it's been made that way. It shouldn't be. It should be something that all the parties should agree. You know, this is a section of our party policy that we need to look at. There needs to be a section on environment in the same way. There's a section on housing. There's a section on homelessness, that, you know, it all links in together. But I'm not sure about this move from the Conservatives, because obviously it's good to see, but it seems just extremely vague. It seems like a move to please certain people, but at the same time not to go too far into doing something that would actually benefit the country. When they're focusing on cars, of course it makes sense for them to look at that, because it's something to do with, they're looking at industry, they're thinking, okay, so how can we change the industry to make it greener? Yes, that is the direction that we need to be going in, but what's not being considered is, like what we said before, the ridiculous amount of waste that would come from this policy being put in place, the fact that it only benefits people who can afford electric cars. The government does currently give a grant to people that get an electric car, but it's only enough to afford to have a charger in your garage. So it's first of all considering that you have a private closed up space so you can put your car in a safe closed garage every night and have a charger in there, which the majority of houses don't have. So it's to a very specific upper middle class market, and it's just not at all focusing on the larger issue at the moment, which is the fact that, you know, living a greener life, living a more environmentally friendly life, is being put through businesses as something that only middle or upper middle class people can afford to do. And that isn't the case. There should be education available for people to learn how to use greener public transport, for people to learn how to cook vegetarian meals that keep them healthier, or meals with less meat and less products such as, you know, rapeseed oil that's really, really bad for the environment. But that's not being done. What's being done is small ploys to please the upper middle class who can afford to do it. And I'm not surprised that it's come from the Conservatives, but I would think that if all the parties are, as you were saying, Elliot, wanting to contribute to this movement against climate change, then they need to expand from just a very specific narrow-minded group of people.
I think I understand a lot of that, and I agree. The way the market works at the moment, it does kind of favour that sort of market. However, I would say that I think that we're looking into this is important. Looking into how they're planning on doing the solving these problems. But when it comes to making a big statement about what you're going to do, you have to make sure that everyone kind of understands it. And talking about something that's so very well known, such as the car industry, I think it is a good way to just get everyone involved. I don't think that's the Conservative Party thinking, right, this is going to help middle class voters. This is that, you know, we're targeting that demographic. This is all we're trying to solve it for. I think that's just them trying to get everyone on board and saying, look, this is something we can all agree on that needs to be changed. Like, we're trying to make a statement.